Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Truth and Justice and the true American truth that's going to shock a lot of you. Courtesy of YouTube and Prager University, I wanted to play a video for you guys to hear and once and for all put to rest the current strain of lies and misconceptions created by yours truly, the Democratic Party. You can listen or you can ignore. Whichever one you choose to do is your decision. But stay tuned because you're going to get a history lesson, and it's worth the time and the effort to stand by and listen for this one.
When you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party comes to mind? The Republicans or the Democrats? Most people would probably say the Democrats, but this answer is incorrect. Since its founding in 1829, the Democratic Party has fought against every major civil rights initiative and has a long history of discrimination. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 1960s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Its mission was to stop the spread of slavery into the new Western territories with the aim of abolishing it entirely. This effort, however, was dealt a major blow by the Supreme Court in the 1857 case, Dred Scott versus Sandfoot. The court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they're property. The seven justices who voted in favor of slavery, all Democrats. The two justices who dissented, both Republicans. The slavery question was, of course, ultimately resolved by a bloody civil war. The commander-in-chief during that war was the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves. 6 days after the Confederate Army surrendered, John Wilkes Booth, a Democrat, assassinated President Lincoln. Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. But Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, and the 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support. During the era of Reconstruction, federal troops stationed in the South helped secure rights for the newly freed slaves. Hundreds of black men were elected to Southern state legislatures as Republicans, and 22 black Republicans served in the U.S. Congress by 1900. The Democrats did not elect a black man to Congress until 1935. But after Reconstruction ended, when the federal troops went home, Democrats roared back into power in the South. They quickly reestablished white supremacy across the region with measures like black codes, laws that restricted the ability of blacks to own property and run businesses, and they imposed poll taxes and literacy tests used to subvert black citizens' right to vote. And how was all of this enforced? By terror. Much of it instigated by the Ku Klux Klan, founded by a Democrat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. As historian Eric Foner, himself a Democrat, notes, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party. President Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, shared many views with the Klan. He resegregated many federal agencies and even screened the first movie ever played at the White House, the racist film, The Birth of a Nation, originally entitled The Klansman. A few decades later, the only serious congressional opposition to the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 came from Democrats. 80% of Republicans in Congress supported the bill, less than 70% of Democrats did. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for 75 days until Republicans mustered the few extra votes needed to break the logjam. And when all of their efforts to enslave blacks, keep them enslaved, and then keep them from voting had failed, the Democrats came up with a new strategy. If black people are going to vote, they might as well vote for Democrats, as President Lyndon Johnson was purported to have said about the Civil Rights Act, I'll have them voting Democrat for 200 years. So now, the Democratic Party prospers on the votes of the very people it has spent much of its history oppressing. Democrats falsely claim that the Republican Party is the villain, when in reality, it's the failed policies of the Democratic Party that have kept blacks down. Massive government welfare has decimated the black family. Opposition to school choice has kept them trapped in failing schools. Politically correct policing has left black neighborhoods defenseless against violent crime. So when you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party should come to mind? I'm Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University for Prager University. Thanks for watching. To keep up.
So racism isn't Republican, it's the Democrats. What a shocking turn of events, isn't it? When injustice seems to rule the world, there is one piece of justice that never ends. And that is the fact that the Ku Klux Klan, known as the KKK, was founded by a Democrat. What a shocking turn of events. How many people would admit that they do not like Democrats anymore if they heard that story? How many of you actually listen to podcasts and realize that everything people are saying is being called out by the media itself? Its own rhetoric has shown signs of breaching across many levels. It's no longer about justice or about liberty or peace. It's about making sure that there is no way for the American people to have the American dream as long as the Democrats hold power. Stay tuned for more coming up.
God of social justice. That's the message in many, maybe most, churches and synagogues in America and the West today. But here's the problem. The Bible doesn't actually say that. It says in Isaiah, "The Lord is a God of justice." You'll find a lot of references to justice in the Bible, but you'll never find it preceded by the word social. But you're probably thinking, what's the difference? Isn't God the God of justice and social justice? Well, not if he's consistent. You see, God cannot be the God of justice and social justice because social justice is not just. Justice is getting what you deserve without favor. Social justice is getting what you don't deserve because you are favored. Justice is blind. Social justice is not. Let's say a man robs a store. Justice demands but one thing: that he be tried in a court of justice and, if he is found guilty, punished. That is not how social justice works. Social justice doesn't only ask if the person is guilty. It asks about his economic condition. Is he poor or wealthy? About his upbringing. What kind of childhood did he have? About his race or ethnicity. Is he a member of a group that has been historically oppressed? Justice demands that everyone be equal under the law. Social justice demands that everyone be equal, period. Economically, socially, and in every other possible way. Justice asks, who did it? Social justice asks, why did he do it? Lost in all these social justice considerations is the individual's own responsibility for what he did. That's why social justice advocates have abandoned the term justice. They deem justice alone as unfair. And sometimes it is. A man who is beaten by his father and abandoned by his mother is more likely to commit a violent crime than a man raised in a loving home. But those facts cannot and should not determine his innocence or guilt. Why? Because justice is first and foremost about truth. Is the person guilty or innocent of the crime? None of us is omniscient. We don't know why people do what they do. After all, the vast majority of people raised in abusive homes do not commit violent crimes, nor do the vast majority of people who are members of an historically oppressed group. Being a victim, however that is defined, is no excuse for hurting other people. And what about those who are hurt, the victims of those crimes? Shouldn't they and other law-abiding citizens be society's first consideration? Social justice advocates say no. They say we need social justice to even things out, and that means favoring the have-nots over the haves, the poor over the rich, the female over the male, and the brown or black over the white. The Bible does not see the world this way. In fact, it speaks against it in very explicit terms. Here's a law in the book of Exodus. Do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. Here's one in Leviticus. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor justly. Moses, the greatest lawgiver in history, declares in Deuteronomy, follow justice and justice alone. And the New Testament declares in the book of Romans, God shows no partiality. None of this means that there is no place for compassion in a system of justice. Of course there is. The Bible is preoccupied with the protection of the widow, the orphan, and unfortunate. But compassion follows justice. It doesn't precede it. Also, justice in and of itself is compassionate, first to the victims of crime and to their loved ones, and second to the criminal. How can you become a better human being if you don't first recognize that you've done something wrong? That's why anytime we put an adjective before the word justice, we no longer have justice. Economic justice, racial justice, environmental justice, any form of social justice which seeks to correct actual justice undermines justice. So then, if social justice is not a biblical concept, why do so many churches and synagogues promote it? Because many Christians and Jews no longer regard biblical principles as binding. Because it's a lot easier to dispense compassion than hold people to a biblical standard. And because leftism has superseded the Bible in many houses of worship. And leftism, as a guiding principle, holds that the weak are good and the powerful are bad. That's why the great battle of our time is between Judeo-Christian values and leftist values. The former is rooted in justice. The latter is not. I'm Allie Beth Stuckey, host of Relatable on Blaze TV for
So the word justice is spoken through a clear understanding that there is no favoritism in justice. Social injustice eliminates justice, because it's no longer justice if we're always fighting true justice. True justice is when there's no favoritism, like in the Hillary Clinton trial. True justice is when the people who do the wrong pay the price and go to jail. And the only way to fix a broken justice system is to eliminate the word social. Because it's just like socialism, and it destroys countries, people, takes lots of lives, and does a lot worse things than what we know. Stay tuned, I got more. So I'm not stopping the fight. I'm putting a face to justice. And I want you guys to remember that I'm not calling someone names. I'm calling the people who believe in this stuff names. I'm calling them liars, cheats, hypocrites, lowlifes, people who don't want to hear the American word. Well, this is the American dream, and we are the American people. So, if this changes anything, it needs to change the conversation. Because the lies of the Democrats are coming out, and I'm going to hold fast and brave hard to say what I want to say without any reprisal. I have a right to speak, I will not be silent, and I will not quit doing these YouTube videos that make the difference. Or using YouTube to speak to the fair and accuracy of the Republican Party. Stay tuned.
Upon a time, every student of history, and that meant pretty much everyone with a high school education, knew this. The Democratic Party was the party of slavery and Jim Crow, and the Republican Party was the party of emancipation and racial integration. Democrats were the Confederacy, and Republicans were the Union. Jim Crow Democrats were dominant in the South, and socially tolerant Republicans were dominant in the North. But then, in the 1960s and 70s, everything supposedly flipped. Suddenly, the Republicans became the racists, and the Democrats became the champions of civil rights. Fabricated by left-leaning academic elites and journalists, the story went like this. Republicans couldn't win a national election by appealing to the better nature of the country. They could only win by appealing to the worse. Attributed to Richard Nixon, the media's all-purpose bad guy, this came to be known as the Southern Strategy. It was very simple. Win elections by winning the South. And to win the South, appeal to racists. So the Republicans, the party of Lincoln, were to now be labeled the party of rednecks. But this story of the two parties switching identities is a myth. In fact, it's three myths wrapped into one false narrative. Let's take a brief look at each myth in turn. Myth number one, in order to be competitive in the South, Republicans started to pander to white races in the 1960s. Fact, Republicans actually became competitive in the South as early as 1928, when Republican Herbert Hoover won over 47% of the South's popular vote against Democrat Al Smith. In 1952, Republican President Dwight Eisenhower won the southern states of Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia. And in 1956, he picked up Louisiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia too. And that was after he supported the Supreme Court decision in Brown versus Board of Education that desegregated public schools, and after he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock Central High School to enforce integration. Myth number two, Southern Democrats, angry with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, switched parties. Fact, of the 21 Democratic senators who opposed the Civil Rights Act, just one became a Republican. The other 20 continued to be elected as Democrats or were replaced by other Democrats. On average, those 20 seats didn't go Republican for another 2.5 decades. Myth number three, since the implementation of the Southern Strategy, the Republicans have dominated the South. Fact, Richard Nixon, the man who is often credited with creating the Southern Strategy, lost the Deep South in 1968. In contrast, Democrat Jimmy Carter nearly swept the region in 1976, 12 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And in 1992, over 28 years later, Democrat Bill Clinton won Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. The truth is, Republicans didn't hold a majority of Southern congressional seats until 1994. 30 years after the Civil Rights Act. As Kevin Williamson of National Review writes, if Southern rednecks ditched the Democrats because of a civil rights law passed in 1964, it is strange that they waited until the late 1980s and early 1990s to do so. They say things move slower in the South, but not that slow. So what really happened? Why does the South now vote overwhelmingly Republican? Because the South itself has changed. Its values have changed. The racism that once defined it doesn't anymore. Its values today are conservative ones, pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-small government. And here's the proof. Southern whites are far more likely to vote for a black conservative like Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina than a white liberal. In short, history has moved on. Like other regions of the country, the South votes values, not skin color. The myth of the Southern strategy is just the Democrats' excuse for losing the South, and yet another way to smear Republicans with the label racist. Don't buy it. I'm Carol Swain, professor of political science and law.
So I'm not gonna tell you that not everything we do is correct, but Prager University has an open invitation to come on here, and we can discuss this at any length you wish. Because at the moment we start showing hate, or at the moment we don't value each other's respectful or understanding, we lose something way more than what anybody else will lose. We lose continuity, we lose respect, and above all else, we lose understanding. When we lose all these things, nothing else really imitates or matters at all. I seek the truth. I seek the justice. I seek fair, honest, considerate understanding of laws that make our country what it is. I want people to realize that what I am doing is speaking out for everybody. I'm saying that this needs to stop. I'm telling the government that their lies are no longer so vain as they'd like us to believe. If the Democrats are racist, then it is the Democratic Party who needs to face the trial. This is not a trial of tribulations, this is a trial of truth. And the truth is I'm tired of the Democrats lying to me, lying to the American people, when they themselves are the racist, egotist, self-serving bunch of liberals I have ever known. So, stick around, and this is my final word of the day after this. I've been considering who's to blame for the racism in America, and it's not really one person, it's a president party. It's the idea that we cover our lives in fake or literally untrue news. And so we don't want to hear the truth, but we'll go out and riot, loot, and shame everybody else. So when you talk about America, you're falling to the category of misunderstood people. Oh wait, that can't be, because that wouldn't happen. But what if I said it was the Democrats' fault for all the racism in America? What if I told you the story of a Democratic Party who tried to defraud America and continues to do so under the pretense of serving the people? That would be a shocker, wouldn't it? Stay tuned. And this is my final word. If we're to be an American civilization or be America, we need to face some truths and we need to stop the lies. I am proposing that one time you come on this podcast and you face the truth as it is said here. If you're not a bunch of hypocrites, if you're not going to lie to me, then we're not going to have a problem. But if you're going to try and cover up history and not have anybody know about it, then we're going to have a problem. Because I will not subscribe to myths, half-truths, or just flat-out lies. That's not the way it works. I was raised to believe that the American dream is always possible. That's why I'm making a business, because it is possible. And I'm not going to allow the Democrats to continue to lie to other people or the American dream. This is what America is made of. And we will not be socially inept in raising our standards. Our standards have been set in stone. They're in the Bible. Justice is justice, even if it is done fairly. We need to create a new system of justice that balances the means of how we associate justice and how we dole it out. And we need to fix the issues with the rich people always getting off and never facing justice. Stay tuned for more coming up later. Thank you for listening. Remember, follow all my podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and so much more. And good night, everybody.